Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he teaches how to develop trust in what God has already done for us and what the next step is to believe for the blessing. Now, here's Kenneth.
We're going to look in the scripture at the very basics, the beginning of developing trust in God. There are certain things that we believe about God, and then we begin to know such certain things about God, but then we made the decision to believe God. Not just believe in Him, but believe Him. If He said it, I believe it. And I develop faith by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't, you know, faith is never developed by miracles and those kind of things. That's wonderful, but that faith doesn't come by spectacular events. Because God could absolutely pick this building up and move it over on the other side of town, and somebody would say, yeah, but I bet it wasn't really tied down. I mean, the natural mind has got an answer for everything. And it's, trust is another step. I believe God. I have faith in God. And then you begin to develop trust. Let's open our Bibles, first of all, to the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Now, tonight, we're going to see where this Babylonian system, the social system of man, and the foundation of it, it is very basic, very simple. We'll review a little bit about what we talked about last night. God created all that you and I know and understand as the universe, the earth, and all of these things, and gave the fullness of it to man. He created it for us. What did He need all this for? He already had a really nice place. But hey, all these years He's been planning on moving. He didn't just build this for you and me. He built it as a place for Him to move from heaven. That's how good this thing was supposed to have been. Let me tell you something. This may come as a real mind-boggling shock to you. But then the scriptures say, ear has not heard, eye have not seen, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him. Yes. Huh? Yes. And that He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. You mean to tell me that the Garden of Eden in the mind of God was the best it is ever going to be? No, that was the, it started there. He had far greater plan. In the mind of God, the Garden of Eden should have been the hardest place man ever knew. That was the worst it would ever be, because it's just going to go better from there. That's what He had planned. So He created, and then He released the blessing. He created Him, and He blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Let me read you again about that word replenish. To replenish, to perpetually renew and supply. Replenish the earth. That's the reason this groaning, travailing creation is in pain. The earth is broken. This thing has been under a curse for centuries, and it's not supposed to be. It was never created by God to carry sin and death. It was never to be a place of death. It was a place of life. It was never, never, ever supposed to have ever been hurricanes and tornadoes and killing and death. All of that came with the curse. The thing is broken, and the creation is yearning for a manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because the sons of God, those that are born again, that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, who became a curse for us so that we might receive the blessing of Abraham through Christ Jesus, that that Garden of Eden blessing might come on us, and we are to be replenishing this earth. That's what this is all about. Hallelujah. That power is in us and on us. It is activated by faith. It is your and my source, not this earth's economy. This thing is suffering under a social economy that does not even intend to depend on God for what it has. It would much rather God would just leave. And if they get a vote, they'll vote him out. And all the time it's God that giveth the increase. So there's a way of thinking on both sides. That blessing, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. That is your and my source. Jesus, what does it say? God shall supply all our needs according to his riches. Where? In glory. How? Oh, now, wait a minute, before you just sling out Christ Jesus. It didn't say by Jesus, did it? It said by Christ Jesus. What is the word Christ? Where does it come from? The anointing of Jesus. That's your and my source. What is the manifestation of the life and anointing that the very burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of the Almighty God? What is that? The blessing manifestation. That's what that is. But when we think, even though we're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and shama, shama, shama a couple of times a week. Hallelujah here and there. Or even far more serious about our walk with God than that. And still be oriented toward that social system. Adam blew that blessing off. We know that. Then at the end of the flood, you remember, and God blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, saying exactly the same words that he said to Adam. Ham and Japheth did the same thing Adam did. And when they walked away from the blessing, Shem stayed with it. Abraham is the offspring of Shem. Shem became Melchizedek, who God sent him to receive Abram's tithe and bless him. And he transferred the blessing that God put on him right at the end of that flood, the beginning of what you and I know as our antiquity, our history, we began with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah. God blessed them. Same thing he did in the Garden of Eden. And one out of three of those boys stayed with it. And it came time for him to transfer that blessing. And he took communion elements with him. And he blessed him. And he received his tithe and he blessed him. That was Shem. His title, Melchizedek. Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek with the same orders. Receive our tithe and bless us with that replenishing power. We got it through Jesus. Hallelujah. Now that is the source of God to replenish you, all about you, everything that needs replenishing. Your physical body needs health. Your physical body needs food. Your physical body needs replenishing. There is a restoring and a replenishing that comes through the blessing of the Word of God and faith and love and joy and goodness, meekness, kindness, temperance, all the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. There is a replenishing there. Your body needs that. The thing is supposed to live 120 years. We never were supposed to quit at 70 or 80. That was for a disobedient people out there in that desert. You go right there to the book of Genesis and God said, I'm not going to let them live all that long. I'm not going to put up with them living nearly 1,000 years. But the days of man shall be 120 years. Now the blessing is to empower that. And Jesus came and set it in motion. That's the power of the divine, miraculous healing ministry of Jesus. The blessing, the source. It's the source of everything from here to heaven and back. Hallelujah. Now listen very carefully because we're going somewhere. Tonight, let's go now to John chapter 6. I want to show you something here. We're going to see the clash of blessing and Babylon. The offspring of Ham and Japheth, particularly Nimrod, he became the first king. He set up the first socialistic form of government where we don't need God. And instead of walking in that blessing, they said, we will make a name for ourselves. We will build us a tower and we will reach up to heaven and we will build us a city or a government. We will do it. We will make. There's where it got started about men making a living, making sales, making money. Amen. So now look at the two systems. The Word of God says, look at the ungodly who prosper in the world, gathering unto themselves wealth, riches, and so forth. But then you turn over to Proverbs 10, and it said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Here's a whole other source of wealth. It is God that gives you the power to get wealth. Now, right there it was in the 11th chapter of Genesis, they said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. And God called Abram and said, come here, I want you to leave your kinfolks. I want you to go with me, and I will make a name for you, and I will bless you, and I will make a place for you. I will do it. I will make it. I don't want you making it. Let me ask you a question, we'll butt heads with this thing right now. Oh, now I'm gonna stay in church. We don't have to go outside the church. We don't have to get out on the sidewalk to do this. So this is not a trick question, and you won't fail if you get the wrong answer. You understand? I just want to show you, shine a light on some of our thinking. The fact that we are not blessing source by Jesus oriented. At least not to the place we should be. Does God, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, my question to you is, does God give us things then to supply our needs? Well, then why does he do it? Huh? Now, some of you answered it the other way because you knew I was tricking you the other way, but now you don't know why you said that. No. He doesn't give us, he gives us things, but he doesn't give us things to supply our needs. The scripture says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. And in the enjoyment, it does supply your need. But his purpose in giving you the thing was not just to supply your needs. He gave it to you because he wants you to enjoy it. Now, when you begin to be blessing oriented, you begin to realize why God does it is because he loves you, man. And he wants you to enjoy life. And so it meets your needs. Meeting the need is secondary to God. You're enjoying life is primary. I came that you might have life and have it how? More abundant. Praise God. Now, you found John 6 yet?
Yes.
All right, now notice this. Praise God. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them would take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But Lord, what are they among so many? They're going to get first-hand witness of the blessing in operation because the miracle is going to occur in their hands as they passed it out. He is ministering bread for the eater. And it overwhelmed them. Not just a little. Everybody ate until they were full. And they had 12 full-size baskets. You remember the lad and his basket? The word translated basket is a very small lunchbox size. But when it said 12 baskets were taken up, of the overflow. It used the same word for basket that it used when they said they put the Apostle Paul in a basket and let him down over a wall. 12 baskets big enough for a full-grown man to be put in it. Wow. See the difference between working for a living and blessing for a living? Both systems are here. Both of them in full force. And one of them is crumbling before our very eyes all over the world. And the other one is ready if we'll begin to develop trust in what's been done for us. Now then, and of course we know when he had given thanks, he distributed and so forth, and we understand what happened there. That's the way the Babylonian system worked. You ignore God and it'll gorge itself. It can't help it. It's the way it's built. It's just, that's what it does. But the blessing goes on when the cameras are turned off. And when you begin to walk in that kind of frame of mind, you don't care whether they're there or not, because it's working. It's working for me when I sleep. It's working for me when I get up. I go to bed at night on the 127th Psalm. It is vain to rise up early and sit up late feeding on the bread of sorrow, for he gives his beloved sleep. I am my Father's beloved, and I receive the gift of sleep. And I know that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich is working in me now. It's working all over the world. It's working right now while I'm going to sleep. What I want to stay awake for? Dear God, roll a care of it over on God. He's not going to be sleeping anyway. I learned that from a dear woman in the air raids in London, World War II. Little Irish lady. And they came by and said, we haven't seen you in the shelters. She said, no, and you're not going to see me anymore. And they were worried about her because she stopped coming to the shelters. And they said, why did you stop coming? I don't like it down there. It doesn't smell good. I don't like it. And I was praying. And I was reading my Bible. And I found this scripture that says God never sleeps and never slumbers. There ain't no use in both of us being awake. She wouldn't go anymore. She wouldn't go to the shelter. They came out of there one night and her whole block had been wiped out from one end to the other. And they were so frightened. They ran over there to check on her. There was one house still standing right in the middle of the block. Was not touched. She slept all the way through that bombing raid. Why? He gave her sleep. The gift of sleep. She got over to that place where she said, let the blessing work. Now, that develops trust. And it gets stronger every time you do it.
Come to these exciting meetings. The 2010 Word Explosion Update in Columbia, South Carolina is the 14th through 16th of October at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center. Be sure to come to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 11th through 13th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, go to kcm.org. God loves you. He is interested in you and is committed to helping you build rewarding relationships and lasting connections that make your life fulfilling. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have put together a 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. This simple, practical, devotional resource will help you develop, improve, and maximize all the relationships in your life, from marriage and family to friendships and workplace connections. The CD and DVD teachings, interactive devotional questions, and action plan will help you know that you're loved and accepted by God. You'll discover how to cultivate and experience relationships with others that are encouraging, satisfying, and lasting. In less than 2 weeks, you'll find yourself enjoying your relationships more, It's all part of your personal 10-day spiritual action plan for building relationships that last. Order our newest Lifeline kit, Building Relationships That Last, by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, available now for just $19.99. Start building strong, rewarding, godly relationships with this 10-day spiritual action plan. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order your Building Relationships That Last Lifeline kit online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call our toll-free number, or you can write to us. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Pearsons. Now, in today's message by Kenneth Copeland, we found out that if God said it, then our response is to believe it. If He said it, we believe it, and trusting in God, that is activated by our faith. Really, that is faith. Faith is trusting in what He said. Now, His purpose in giving to you, it is to supply your needs. That's scriptural. But also, the scripture says He wants you to enjoy it. Enjoy what He gives you. Now, that blessing means He has empowered you, given you the ability to receive it. And you begin to let that work in your life. Now, I want to explain this to you. You believe the Word because He said it, but you begin to trust in Him because you know Him. You believe because He said it, but you trust because you begin to know God's character. It's the character of goodness. It's His desire to give to you. And this ministry wants to give to you. We've got a gift that we would like to give just to help you begin to develop that trust in God. And this is where it begins. Love never fails. That's the title of this little book. Trusting God begins in knowing that He is love and knowing that that love never fails. And you can take God at His word. You can discover for yourself that love never fails. Amen. Now, this little book, some of you may be saying, I've never finished a book in my whole life. Well, this one you can finish. All right. It's just under 20 pages. You may be able to get through it twice. So call us and let us know. You can request this free book and we will be happy to get it out to you. Let me tell you also that Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a partner service department right here that is here for you. And we have people that are ready to pray with you, come into agreement with you. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in My name, I am there. You come into agreement, and it is His pleasure to answer your prayer. So if you need prayer, make sure you call our partner services, call our prayer department. Here in Fort Worth, there's a toll-free number that you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you live somewhere else in the world, we've got offices all over the world. You check the internet for that office that's closest to you and their hours of operation, and you'll be able to get a hold of somebody as well. Thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast today. This is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and as Kenneth and Gloria always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Remember to request your free gift, Love Never Fails, a book by Kenneth Copeland. For faster processing, request your copy online at kcm.org. One per household, please. Offer good for 30 days. If you need prayer, call our 24-hour prayer line today at 800-600-7395.